The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And you're very welcome back to the programme. 086 60 25,000. Of course, it's Halloween on Tuesday. We're going to be talking about ghosty types of things, not in a way that will frighten you, I hope. But if you want to share your ghost story and come on air and tell me it, I will reward the best one with a lovely little package of a 9 till noon show mug. Yes, a T-shirt, a bingo book. If I need to throw more in there, let me know. But if you want to come on air and relate your ghost story, please do. Caller says, Donegal's the first best place in the world, yet there's no train, no motorway, one dual carriageway, and most of the hotel rooms are taken up by non-tourists. Another, I don't see Mr. Pringle in the hospital crisis campaign at the hospital crisis campaign protest at Letterkenny last January. Another, hi Greg, why is there not a vote of no confidence re the Health Minister, Mr. Stephen Donnelly? He's done nothing, this listener says, to help Letterkenny, and now he's refusing to come up and meet consultants and GPs. It's not good enough. Well, the government have the numbers to defeat pretty much that type of a no confidence vote. So it's an awful lot of effort and an awful lot of time taken up from discussing other things, and he would survive it in any case. I'm not saying it should or shouldn't happen. I'm just saying that's probably the motivation for it not happening. Let me see. Claire said it's abhorrent that so many children are being killed, and she's right. It's always the helpless. And then they go on to say that even though the majority of people voted for abortion here, it is still happening. The problem is our welfare has opened the door for economic migrants, and this will never end. The big issue which we should be concerned about is the culture of our country. It'll change forever. We will have to change the very core of our religion and values, yet we could not travel to their countries and seek change with their values and religion. We have gone to many countries. I take the wider point that you're making. But there's a lot of moderate people of different religions, by the way. You know, and I've spoken to many of them. That just because someone is of a religion, it's like most of the people in this country are Catholic, but how many go to Mass, right? And then you can have other people of other religion, but not all, like, you know, some of them are quite moderate, even though they are of that religion. Culturally, what is Ireland's culture? We don't use our own language. Like, what is it we're protecting? Talk to me about what you think we might lose with a more diverse population. And this is a conversation point. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just, when people talk about we'll lose our culture, what is our culture that we might lose? Hi, Greg. I suggest that your listeners look at the article in The Guardian, which shows the extent of the truly the extent and truly egregious and deliberate bombing of Israel in Gaza, of Israel in Gaza, which shows before and after this savagery reminiscent of the Warsaw Ghetto. I'll try and get those pictures up at some point this morning for those watching. We're talking full neighbourhoods gone, destroyed. Many Ukrainians, highly qualified but lack basic English to work. I've met solicitors, teachers, managers, midwives, all who would like to work. ETB closed basic English programs run by underfunded NGOs last summer. Where do those children have to play and socialise? Underfunded youth clubs who were not funded to take them in and meet the demands in language and more days to open. HSE housing, TUSLA education bursting at their seams and not taking into account the extra demands of people escaping war or persecution. No planning, only firefighting by government. Does Deputy Pringle have anything to say about the attack on the asylum seekers in West Donegal and the threats made towards those trying to help them? I'm sure he would, given his political associations, would strongly condemn that situation. Hi, you should tell your listeners to watch Al Jazeera News, Sky 511, when they're not listening to Highland for the truth on Gaza. Another, Biden, who likes Sinn Féin, put on a pedestal, adding fuel to the fire following the despicable Hamas attack by giving Israel the green light to commit atrocities against innocent Palestinians. Good morning, Greg. Will you remind your panel that the people of Gaza are supposed to be following the religion of peace? If that's peace, I'd hate to see war. We have LGBTQ people supporting Palestine. These people wouldn't last 24 hours out there. It's an anti-gay, anti-everything religion, but Muslim, and Mr. Pringle supports them. So remind me when we started supporting these sorts of places. Remember Qatar. Well, if Catholicism is anti-LGBTQ as well, if the truth be told. And also you're grouping all of Palestine, including all those women and children, but particularly the children, the 2,500 of them that have been flattened by Israeli bombs. You're grouping them in with the actions of Hamas. So how can we get to the point whereby we sort of go, ach, it's okay that, you know, 2,500, 3,000 children are being slaughtered because some people in Palestine are anti-LGBTQ? Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't see how that, if that's a position that needs to change, right? But we're still talking about the mass death of thousands of children. A caller says it was okay for supporters to fly the Ukrainian flags at football matches in the UK, but it's not okay to do the same with a Palestinian flag. Double standards. Well, the Celtic fans didn't heed those warnings much, did they? Locals are increasingly angry at decisions made to impose migrant centres on communities without consultation. The public concern on the issue is too great to ignore. The government must consult the people by way of a referendum. Hi, Greg. The BBC have now changed their language from the Israel-Hamas war to the Israel-Gaza war. The normal people of Gaza are not at war. Stop the killing of all innocents on both sides, says the listener. Ireland has done its bit. Time to look after our own people that we should have done in the first place. This government couldn't run a bath, and others in opposition, not much better. Another, how can anyone who returns to their place of birth be called a refugee? So many Irish went to America with no green card, and many of them missed the funerals of their parents, brothers and sisters because they couldn't return from America, yet we are paying the way for many of these. Well, I know most of the people I know that were on stayed in America legally. They did travel back through Canada and by other means. I'm sure you're familiar with them as well. I mean, obviously not the majority of them, but many of them did travel back through Canada and in through Dublin. And I remember chatting to them and them saying, I hope I can get back in. And they mostly did. So we have traveled back and forth, even when illegal in America. We keep referring to Ukraine. Let's be very clear. This is not about Ukraine. It's about the other countries jumping on the bandwagon. And they mentioned a few African countries there as well. There's two different groups of people and they're treated differently. If you're a Ukrainian refugee, you're given more money, more entitlements, you can work. If you are coming in from some of the other countries, international protection, you get €38 a week. Greg, people don't want busloads of foreign men in their community in the middle of the night, but nobody's listening. Literally busloads of foreign men came into Bunkrana. People weren't happy and they left. So I'm not sure people aren't listening, but I take your point. And you also heard Councillor Jerry McMonagall saying that there needs to be consultation, that this isn't working. So people are listening. Ireland is full, says a caller. Time to start closing the doors or at least restrict entrance. Our population now compared to pre-famine, much fewer, particularly here in Donegal, but I presume you mean in terms of services and housing and what have you. Right, and that's it. There's still loads more, and I will get to them as the morning cracks on. I do appreciate it. It's been one of those weeks, incredibly busy on the programme, and we really appreciate the support. And I hope you enjoy the show and the fact that we talk about everything and give everyone respectfully a right to have their views aired and exercised. Okay, back shortly. Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. 08660 25000 is the WhatsApp and text number, or give us a call on 07491 25000. Right, we have some exciting news coming up for you shortly as it relates to the return of a great feature leading up to December 25th, not wishing to give too much away, but I'm just going to read a couple of comments in the meantime. Good morning. The Ukrainians are doing that from the beginning. A holiday camp is what we are. The dogs on the street know it, but in what numbers? There's some anecdotal stuff there, but in what numbers is it actually happening, this people returning to Ukraine? That's a question, not a statement. Opinion polls have consistently found a large majority of citizens want migrant numbers reduced. These mass immigration supporting TDs along with the media elite are in the minority. I think there's one poll that actually a lot of people quote. I'm not sure there's been a large majority of, I don't think there's been many opinion polls, but if there have, send them on to me actually, because I would be quite interested. Greg, the war that Israel is engaging with against the Palestinian people has been going on for a long time, and America and Britain have sat on their hands at the expense of children that are innocent to any conflict, but these people think it's more important to protect their political thinking to children's mental state. Hi, Sean.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, now, Home for Christmas last year, and we're going to have a reminder of it very shortly here on the show. Home for Christmas last year was a huge success, and it's back, and it's bigger and better, quite literally. That's not just a tag. It's bigger and better than ever.
Yeah, it is, Greg. It is, and you know, it's great to be here today to launch it, because it was such a special thing to do last year. It's one thing that we didn't realize how much work was involved in it, but every little bit of work was worth it so much on that day when we brought the family down the stairs and the mum was sitting in studio. They thought they were in to actually win a lovely hamper, which they also got. But it just, it made the whole week of Christmas.
All right, let's remind ourselves of last year, and then what we'll do is we'll come back and just reflect on it a little bit more. Here's a short package of Home for Christmas 2022. And how many are in your family?
Just me and my brother.
All right, okay. And where's your brother from?
He lives in Sweden with his family over there.
Right. Oh, he's over in Sweden.
Yeah.
All right. And how long has he been over there, Rose?
So we're 6 years.
Yeah.
Right, okay. And is he coming back this year?
Unfortunately.
Right, okay.
No.
When was the last time you saw him?
Earlier in the year for the christening.
Yeah.
A christening?
Yeah.
Oh, they?
Eden, their youngest daughter. It was
very good.
A year now in March. And this is Tor's birthday, he's 5, so this is just...
That's all right, don't worry about it. That's love, isn't it?
Right.
what's going on here?
Oh, my God.
All right, so we have our Home for Christmas competition. So has this come as a surprise to you, Rose? Oh, this is absolutely beautiful. And just watching that there, and people at home watching it, or wherever they are, the emotion on Rose's face, Sean, it was a beautiful thing. And they were actually a wonderful, wonderful family, and left us a beautiful gift as well, a lovely, I don't know how you'd describe it, lovely piece of wood.
Yeah, it was, yeah. I remember you were far more interested in that than talking to me afterwards.
I know, I had chopping board, stroke cheese board, and then looked at, no, it's not. This is a piece of art. He worked with a particular wood in the country that he's living with now. So that was at a scale now.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful, and they stayed for a bit, and the joy on the mum's face was just unbelievable. And now it's bigger and better. And as you said, you're throwing it open worldwide.
It is. It's officially from today now. It's where we're opening nominations. Where wherever you are in the world, we want to hear from you. Last year we did Europe. Today we're doing the world, and it's thanks to I've been very fortunate in persuading two very kind and considerate sponsors who will remain anonymous, who are helping us financially by their choice. Mm. I would love to call their name, but they're happy to be in the background, which gives it even more merit. So today is an opportunity for, are you living abroad, somewhere in the world? Would you love to come home for Christmas? Would you like to nominate yourself? Or have your family, or you have your family members living somewhere? It could be Australia, it could be America, it could be anywhere. Would you like them home for Christmas? If you do, we'd love to hear from you. And we'd love to hear why. Let's see the real reason of what would it mean to you if you're nominating yourself, or what would it mean to the family for you to come home this Christmas and spend it? And we saw the delight in the Bradley family last year and the surprise from Rose and Mum. And I think that this year we just want to go bigger and better. And logistically, yeah, it's going to be difficult, but we'll do it. And we'll make sure that they land in Donegal and they'll be here for Christmas.
Yeah, and he's got them up to the airport, picked them up, drove them here and everything. Now, there's two ways of doing it, and we give equal measure to both. If you are here and you have loved ones that are away, or someone close to you away, or a family away, wherever they are, and they would love to come home and can come home, but they can't because, you know, things are tight not just here but everywhere else, or for whatever reason, we want to hear from you as well. Or if by the on the other side, if you are listening to us, and we're going to put it across our socials as well, so hopefully we reach as many people as possible. And actually, by the way, we'd really, when we do that, invite you to share so that we can reach as many people as we can right across the world. So if you are out in Australia, the Cayman Islands, wherever it might be, you can also nominate yourself and tell us the reasons why. So we're doing it from the two approaches, so we cover as many people.
Yep.
So if you're here and you want to bring people home, and they can travel home and make it home, we want to hear from you and the reasons why. And conversely then, if you are, maybe you are the person who would love to come home, but for whatever reason that you can't, and we can hopefully logistically make it happen to you. Those are the two cohorts, Sean. And how do they get in contact with us?
So we've made it. There's actually three ways you can do it, Greg. You can go onto highlandradio.com and you can click on the Home for Christmas. And there's actually a form that you'd fill in. So there'll be all the information and details and the reason why.
Probably the easiest way of doing it, if the truth be told.
It probably be the quickest way of doing it. But you can also you can email information to us as well. And I got a lot of emails last year, which and handwritten as well. I must explain that one. And they're nice too, because it's that personal written feeling of why you want to come home for Christmas or why you want the family. So you can email it to homeforchristmas@highlandradio.com. Or you can send a letter to Home for Christmas at Highland Radio, Mountain Top, Letterkenny, County Donegal. And we obviously have to have a closing date for this. And it's the 1st of December. So obviously we've got to logistically look and read and pick a winner and then find how do we get them home within a short period, because we'd love somebody to be in Donegal for the week off. 22nd or 23rd of December is when we'd like them to be home. But we'll be announcing the winner. I think it's about the 4th of December we'll actually be contacting the winners off the competition. So we got a huge influx last year. I think this could go mad this year because of, obviously, this is now global.
So don't self-rule yourself out and go, oh, yeah, but, you know, West Canada's too far away. We'll look after that, right? What we want you to do, if you're here and listening and you've got loved ones, a family, whatever it might be, far away, get on our website and click, fill out the form there. Tell us your contact, their contact, and the reason they should come home. Or send that same information to us here at homeforchristmas@highlandradio.com. That's the email address, isn't it?
Yep.
Or if you want to write a letter, do, but include all the information, your contact details, their contact details, and the reason why they might want to come home. And again, just to appeal to people, and we'll cut this out and share it separately. And as I said, we want people to help us get the message out there. If you are away and you want to come home, but you can't, but you could make it with the help of Highland Radio. Also, the website, click the link, fill out, give us all the details, tell us why. Or email homeforchristmas@highlandradio.com. Or again, if you wanted to write to us, you can do that as well.
Yeah,
it really is as simple as it feels a lot more simpler than last year. Or are we just getting better at explaining it?
Yeah, I think you're just getting better at what you do, Greg.
Because I remember coming out of the launch last year and wondering what have we just been talking about? But it seems very clear this year.
Yeah, I think the other thing is we've added the electronic form as well this year, which is good. The important thing also, though, I must state, if you are nominating a family, we need their details as well.
Mm.
So we need a contact, because what we will do, we'll go through a process where we'll talk to them in advance before making a decision. So it's important that you give us all the information when you're either writing or you're filling out the form online.
Who are you? Your details. Who are they?
Yeah.
Their details.
Yeah.
Why do you want them home? Why do you want to come home?
That's it, in a nutshell. Exactly. That is it. And as I said, we will close it on the 1st of December, and we will contact. We're obviously not going to come on air, and we'd like it to be, if possible, to try and make it a bit of a surprise for a family.
It was a huge surprise last year. It was a beautiful thing. There was so many... It's not just the mum and the son. It was the partners. It was the wider family. It was the children. It was seeing babies for the first time properly, being able to bond over a special time of the year. Last year, it was huge for an awful lot of people. This year, hopefully, it's going to be bigger and better. Well, we know it's going to be bigger and better. All you have to do is be involved and let us decide. We'll sort out the logistics. It's very, you don't have to sort anything out. Yep. So it's a prize for everybody.
Yep.
And it's all over the world now, thanks to two generous sponsors, good people who want to share their resources in making people's lives better, but they don't want their company or their individual name being given out, which I think also is pretty darn amazing. And as well, Sean, like, you know, you get these stories, they're selling Christmas trees now, you know, there's Christmas stuff in the shops and blah. We're now at the period after Tuesday, we're in Christmas season. No one can cry about Christmas ads on the telly or on the radio. It's Christmas season, because in 3 weeks the lights are on and were away. So we're right now launching this at the start of, even though some Scrooges don't like it, the start of the proper approach into Christmas.
It is. And actually, my Christmas started yesterday because we were an outside broadcast which was full of Christmas and it was amazing. I love Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Next week it's full on Christmas. We'll start seeing decorations everywhere, shops, retail. There'll be Christmas trees going up. We might even put ours up early this year, Greg. You never know.
I don't know. I'd like us to do something different. It's just, I've been here unbelievably almost for 20 years. It just feels like the same thing every year.
Oh, we got an extra tree last year there, in fairness.
Yeah, okay.
We added to that, but we'll have to come up with something this year where we'll maybe a challenge.
LED lights. I like flashing things.
Do you?
Nothing of my own. Right, okay, Home for Christmas, folks. Get on the website. There's loads more details there. And we'll give you reminders over the course of November as well. We want to catch as many people as possible and make someone's dreams come true. There's not often we can get involved in something, Sean, that is genuinely sort of, you know, life-changing. It doesn't really feel like an overstatement, but do you know what I mean? To give someone a Christmas they didn't think they could have and just leave them with memories for the rest of their lives.
I couldn't say it any better, Greg. The one thing you said there which is really important, if they see information on our Facebook page, please share it
on Instagram,
because that will get the message further wide. We're on our website, we'll be videos, we'll do everything we can, but it's important that our listeners help us to get the message out there globally to tell people we want to bring them home.
Right, okay. Do you believe in ghosts, Sean?
Not really, no. But I'm scared of them.
Would you cut down a fairy tree?
No.
Well, what do you mean? I thought you didn't believe in ghosts.
But just in case, I wouldn't.
Well, then you do believe. You're edging the bets. You do believe. See, this is the thing.
I don't like horror
people
films.
People go, no, I don't believe in ghosts. Then they wouldn't do anything that might, engage them.
Yeah, this time of year, if people love watching horror movies and different things, I hate horror movies.
The problem with horror movies, and I'm sure we'll talk about this more with Michael Infanula later, is most of them are crap.
Because they're
easily made.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to find a good one.
I normally sit behind the couch if it's on. I
think that's probably too much wine.
You're probably right.
He's fallen off the couch again.
Halloween, every Friday.
Sean, thank you very much indeed. Just to recap, go on and you'll see the online form, Home for Christmas. Email all the deets we've been talking about here, homeforchristmas@highlandradio.com. And the deadline's the start of December. Get on it right now, but don't panic yourself either. You've got a month, but the sooner the better. Okay, we'll be back with more on the 9 till noon show after a short break. Keith Corcoran joins us in studio now. Keith is author of Finding Fairy Mysteries in Donegal. Keith, thanks for calling up.
Greg, it's a pleasure. And may I say that it's great to be interviewed by a fellow Lahey man excelling in his field of broadcasting.
Well, I think you are right there.
It seems that we broke the glass ceiling
in
broadcasting
above our weight,
and
yeah.
Cultural...
We've got you, a well-renowned author. We've got me, broadcasting. We've got Jason Quigley. We're claiming him.
Absolutely.
We have internationally famous runner.
Absolutely.
You know what? I mean, this is all from a little village. We're doing all right. Keith, listen, it's great to have you up. I do appreciate it. Right. Finding Fairy Mysteries in Donegal. This is going to do really well for you, I think. And it's been a hard piece of work. Well, it's a long piece. I don't know if you view it to be hard, but talk to me about the process.
Yeah, Greg, it has been a bit of a slog, you know. It's been 4 years in the making. So the book, and I interviewed over 50 lore keepers and storytellers and shanachies and homekeepers and sheep farmers and the whole broad spectrum of Donegal people. But the background to the story, interestingly, comes from the last book. Because in 2015, I set out to do a book on historical mysteries and legends of Donegal. And I was working on that for 4 years as well. And as I was travelling around the county, Greg, from district to district, you know, you would be sitting down usually for an hour and a half recording somebody. And I suppose when they told you the story that you had been after, you still had an hour of chat. And I was really surprised that all the fairy-related folklore and mythology and historically related modern stories I was picking up. So by the time I finished Mysteries and Legends of Donegal, which came out in 2019, I had 15 stories already collected. Mm. And I said, I'd go out one last time and see if there's a full collection of fairy mysteries in Donegal.
So when we talk about fairy mysteries, what are we talking about? What stories are you hearing? And normally, is there a trigger that sort of that invokes the experience? Because I note there's a fairy tree on the front of the book.
Yes, yeah. Greg, I decided if I was going to spend 4 years doing what turned out to be an absolutely fascinating, mind-opening cultural project for the county, my home county of Donegal, I also realised that I wasn't going to cut and paste a folklore collection. And I decided, I suppose, I was at the age now that I was going to take a kind of a deep dive into everything in relation to fairy mysteries. So, for example, I picked up an amazing book back in, amazing map from 1590 that was given to me by Desi McCallion. And it actually was a military map created by the English who were about to invade the county of Donegal. But not only did they map out all the strategic locations of O'Doherty and O'Donnell's country, they also included fairy testimony from some of their officers who had been reconnaissance in the northwest of Donegal. So Desi's map, which he brought to my attention, said, wow, at that time, even in England and Britain, belief in fairies was very strong.
So was the motivation for their actors to avoid, you know, what do you think the motivation for the inclusion of these fairy areas on the map was?
I think it was mixed.
Mm.
Because I think on one hand, they were just absolutely fascinated mm-hmm. by it, that they were walking into a country. I mean, to them, I suppose, on one level, they were here to conquer. And on the other level, they were absolutely fascinated with their folklore. And there's an interesting piece they put in about Inishmurry Island. There's cursing stones on Inishmurry Island. Mm-hmm. And they speak of this O'Fantin priest who, if he decides to turn the stones against somebody, that they'll be dead within the year. But, I mean, there's so many fascinating parts of it. To me, you know, it seems to be very much alive, Greg. It's kind of gone underground, I suppose. As I say in the introduction, at the early 1900s, 9 out of 10 people in rural Ireland, particularly farming communities, believe very much in fairies.
Well,
and
you
fairy
see,
lore.
I have over from different conversations, Keith, at different times have. You know, ghosts or spirits come up in the conversation. And I would ask someone, and I just did it there with Sean, who was sitting there a moment ago, does he believe in ghosts? No. There was another lady on last week, by coincidence, do you believe in ghosts? No. Would you cut down a fairy tree? Would you interfere with a fairy tree? No. So even those that don't believe in anything sort of afterlife-ish or anything that might haunt us still wouldn't risk interfering with a fairy tree. That's in modern Ireland, 2023.
Absolutely. Great. Yeah.
So fairies, the stories that you've put together, and there's a couple of high-profile ones. We'll talk about the fairy tree on the Rosnala Road separately, right? But generally speaking, what stories are you being told? Is it encounters? Is it stories that they've heard? So give us an idea of some of the 62 stories that are in the book and what kind of stories you're hearing.
It's very, very broad. I mean, for example, you know, I would have included, it's actually very, very broad. I could flick through it here while I'm here with you, you know. And I mean, to me, I feel that...
throw me over that book, actually, just to get a feel for it, if that's all right, Keith.
Yeah.
I know you were about to reference it, but we just run through the 62. So you talk about the medieval fairy revealed, the Hill of the Fairy King, Throughout the Artist's Eye, Bundoran Fairy Bridges and Wishing Chair, Finding Tree Spirits, William Allingham's poem, The Fairies, because this draws quite a lot from the south of the county, doesn't it? Bundoran, Ballyshannon, Ballantra, Lahey, and Donegal Tan.
At the beginning of it, but I'd have to stress that it's the whole county.
Right.
There's 62 counties, so I'd say about 15 stories to the south of the county. What I found really interesting is the findings that I found, you know, from interviewing, as I say, people along the way. One of the most interesting, striking stories was about a holy well down on the Slieve League Peninsula called Tubber Knapastoon.
Mm-hmm.
And Knapastoon turns out, was a fairy king from the area.
Yes.
And a lot of these wells, you see, we've such an ancient mythology and history, and Donegal being so such a traditional county and a rural county, a lot of this ancient mythology was preserved. But I was fascinated. I went to visit Tubber Knapastoun, and it struck me then, the penny dropped, that we're talking about a faith, an elder faith, that preceded Christianity. So when Christianity came along, every district had sacred wells who were attributed to fairy kings and queens in that area. And then Christianity came along, and rather than destroy that came before it, there was this really interesting compromise. They put a layer of Christian meaning on these. So they realised they weren't going to get people not to go to these places. So they named them after Christian saints, mm-hmm. St. Bridget's Well, St. Columbkill's Well, St. Patrick's Well. And I find that really, really fascinating, because as part of this, I interviewed a druid, Sean O'Geehan, who also happens to be head gardener of Glenveagh. And he really brought to light the theme. I think fairies are very much connected with nature. You know, a connection with nature. You often hear in these stories that I collected that, you know, to interfere with nature or some of our last wild spaces, or interfere with these wild fairy trees growing in trees. The other thing is, a Father Frank McHugh, who passed away recently, he was from originally the Glenswilly area. He wrote he saved an enchanting story from the Glenswilly area called King Chimpin, who is the king of the fairies in Glenswilly. Mm. And it's a very interesting moral story. And he actually says there's a very similar moral story in the Old Testament, in the Bible. But one other person I'd love to mention too, from the Ards Peninsula, and sadly he passed away only a year ago, was Ben McFadden. Ben McFadden, anybody listening in from the Crieshla and Ards area will know Ben, because not only was he a great community leader in the area, but he was a fantastic lawkeeper. And he gave me a great story before he passed away about the Fairy Hollow in the Ards Peninsula.
And isn't it important to archive some of this information as well, because things get lost in time. And stories die with people as well. I'm not referencing necessarily the two examples that you've given, but it is really quite important, because maybe not today, or maybe not in 10 years, but certainly in 100, 200, 300 years, this is a reference of these stories that otherwise some of them may have been lost. Talk to us about the fairy tree on the Rosnala Road in the 60s and how it held up construction.
This was a really interesting story, Greg, to research. I had heard about this story. Anybody of a certain age in the Ballantra-Lahey area would know it well. The council had decided there was a very bad, or as we say, a wild bad bend on the road from Ballantra to Rosnala. So they decided to take it out of it. So Roy Green was a local man at the time. He was contracted, and other men, to cut the trees and the bushes along the line where this new road was going. But as during their work, there was a local farmer brought to their attention that was a famous fairy tree on that site, a white thorn tree. And he just said, you know, be it on your head if you interfere with it. Well, Greg, tools were downed. The county council workers refused. Everybody refused to interfere or go. So basically work was stopped on that road.
It was a standoff.
Yeah. Now, this is where it gets interesting. The not only did our own media cycle, but the national news began to send people up to report on it. It actually made even international news in England and America as well. And I think Cathal Shannon at the time, he came up to do an outside broadcast from RTE about it. Nobody would touch it. It was the talk of the country at the time. And poor Roy Green, I mean, I'm not going to give away too much of the story. I'll be revealing it at my launch in Ballantra, very close to the site of the story, this Saturday at 6:30 p.m. for anybody who wants to come. But to get back, poor Roy Green got blamed for it. I don't think it was him that touched it, because I researched a national feature from a newspaper now defunct that Roy Green said not only would he not touch it, but he wouldn't expect any of his workers to touch it. So I think the true story is that in a test of bravado, two young fellas went down in the middle of the night and cut that tree down. And it was very sad because the council, I believe, were already drawing plans to reroute the road around this ferry tree. Yeah. And I can't verify this, but those two young men, they had a bit of bad luck in their own lives after this here. So there seems to be, the mystery still surrounds that story.
Yeah. And is there many stories of the consequences of going against the ferries, if I could put it like that?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, there's a story, Greg, that I touch on in the Glenswilly area, a more modern story. And I mean, that story is so raw in the area that I couldn't actually get anybody to go on record with the story. But I do mention it at the beginning of the story, because the other thing about it, Greg, is I am a bona fide scaredy cat. So I might not have been the best person to do this. So I tread very carefully as I was travelling the highways, the byways of Donegal.
Well, you don't upset them either, do you?
No, okay. You don't,
well,
Greg.
Listen, the book is being officially launched in Ballintra. Is it on Sunday? It's actually in the Ballintra Community Centre on Saturday evening, I beg your pardon.
Saturday evening,
the 28th of October. And
Can I give a quick shout out, Greg? Because I've already started my world tour of fairy mysteries around Donegal. I'm thanked to everybody who came out in Stranorlar on Wednesday night. And last night, a big shout out to the Buncrana posse who came out. And I'd also like to pay a special thanks to David in Bookmark and Letterkenny. Because, Greg, I know that you feel the same way about this as well. You know, I don't really want to particularly fund Jeff Bezos and his Amazon, you know, vanity projects and skyrockets and yachts. So, folks, I am so grateful that we still have independent booksellers around the country, like Four Masters, Pauline and Eunan up in Max in Buncrana, and also David. And David's a character. If anybody knows David in Bookmark, for the last 2 years while I was working on this, every time I come in, he say, "Hey, Keith, all I want to know, when is the next book coming out? When is the next book coming out? I want it on my shelves."
Caller wants to know, do you believe in ghosts?
Do you know what? After 4 years of going around the county, or 8 years now in total, because as I show you now, I have to say, Greg, I do now at this stage. And I do believe in fairies, but I do believe it's a psychical thing.
But you see, we talk about it, and on our stories here, are the conduit almost is fairies. But if you go around the world, I presume there's similar stories, similar traditions, focused on different things, perhaps, and it's presented in a different way. But our face of a lot of what we're talking about is the tree, the fairies, the wells, the bridges. But, you know, it's replicated perhaps in different ways right around the
very
world.
Very much. And it's still there, Greg. And I must say, I love to go into the schools, and to all grandparents and parents out there listening this morning, folks, turn off those smartphones for a while. Turn off the radio even after Highland Radio's main schedules is finished, and sit down with your grandchildren. Because when I go into the schools, you can see the wonder lighting up in their eyes. And I am just
children
so...
Children love history.
They love history and they love folklore and they love stories. And don't forget that, folks. And as I said, Greg, thanks for the praise, but this is the people of Donegal. This is the voice of our people, the folklore, the culture and the magic. And this is a very special time of year, because Halloween comes from Ireland, is celebrating around the world now, and surely we can keep it alive. Okay. And I hope this renews it for future generations.
When is the book available now?
Greg, after this, I just released it this morning. So after this show, I'm going to make a beeline for David and Bookmark Letterkenny in the old shopping centre.
All right, great stuff. Listen, it's a great piece of work, and it's a great achievement to be able to publish a book at the standard, at any standard, but particularly at the standard that you have. And it's incredibly well researched, and a lot of time and efforts went into it. Keith Corcoran, author of The Finding Fairy Mysteries in Donegal, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Coming up after 11, we have Michael and Fionnuala in with That's Entertainment. Thanks again to Keith. And I just want to mention, considering he took the time to come up here, the Halloween book launch, Finding Fairy Mysteries in Donegal, Close Encounters with the Wee Folk by Keith Corcoran. It's in the community centre in Ballintra. That's between Donegal Town and Ballyshannon. It's on Saturday, this coming Saturday, between 6:30pm and 8:30pm. And you're invited to join him for a magical evening of fairy and ghost stories, music and song, and refreshments will be served. And you can get a copy of the book if that suits you. Good morning. Could you please wish Mary Doherty from Corgry, Ballybuffet, a happy birthday? Hope she has a lovely day from the Mundy sisters. Happy birthday, Mary. Good morning. Could you please wish Mary Doherty? It's the same text. Please can you play a special request for Mary Margaret Friel? Hello, Mary Margaret Friel. She's in Fannad and she has a big birthday today. Best wishes to you, Mary Margaret, and hope your party all night. Have a great birthday from Kathleen and all the gang. Okay, so we're happy to do that. Greg, can anyone explain to me what the Marching Guidor is about tomorrow? I'm unsure about attending it as there is no clarity on it. Okay, let me see. I don't know. I have no information on that. I know there is an emergency rally for Gaza. You're invited to show your support. It's an end the war rally. Stand up for peace and justice in Palestine, says the poster. It's from the front of An Ghrianon Theatre between 1 and 2 p.m. Tomorrow, Saturday. And there are guest speakers, so maybe you want to attend that. Or if you're working, go there on your lunch if that's something that you feel passionate about. Okay, we're going to take a break from the serious matters now for the final hour of the show this week. Because as I mentioned to you, coming up after 11 o'clock, it's Michael and Fionnuala with That's Entertainment.